Instead of trying to build up my own kingdom and trying to advance me and be made much of and to be the star of the show, which we normally shoot for joy and fulfillment and all that, instead of that, if we could unplug from that and instead live our life to build up God's kingdom, to put God on the throne, to put the spotlight on God, that's where that joy comes from, is the experience in that time. When we're able to do that. And then that understanding that joy comes from advancing God's kingdom instead of my own kingdom, it puts everything else into perspective. So I can take joy in God's sanctification process in me. As he's changing me and working in me through the good things and some rough things, I can still take joy because I know he's making me more and more like Christ. He's transforming me, so I get to take joy in that. I also get to take joy in the fact that this life isn't all there is. Knowing, like, it could feel like we're losing so much, and the things that I don't have in this life can try to rob my joy of what I'm missing out on, what I'm lacking, what I don't have, and that person's got it, and I want it, so therefore I don't have joy. Until we realize that this life isn't all there is, and we understand God's kingdom instead of my own kingdom, well, then I can release those things that I'm missing on. Who cares? Small potatoes compared to the grand eternal perspective. So when Paul's in jail, he's got everything that could be used for his own kingdom has been stripped away from him. He's still calling out in joy because he knows this life isn't all there is. He's getting ready to face potential death, and he says, oh, if I were ever to die or to live, I don't even know, because even to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why can he say that? Because he knows this life isn't all there is. So that understanding puts everything else in perspective. So up to this point, all we've been talking about, and this is 100% true, the source of our unshakable joy is living for God. So God is the source of that joy. We're not changing that. We're not moving off of that point. But yet, in the midst of that point, Paul, we're going to see in the next portion of the letter, brings up these two guys, and he adds another aspect of joy about how he's received so much joy from these two relationships that are in his life and how he received joy from fellow believers. And so if you got Bibles, let's open them up to Philippians chapter 2 to see the next part of this letter, Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. And we're just going to spend a couple minutes here, and we're going to be done at normal time. If you're looking at the clock, if this is the beginning of a 30-minute message, Tom, you got issues. I won't do that to you. We know. All right. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. And we're going to see that, where Paul receives joy from these two people. And they're part of the joy he's been receiving, that he's experiencing. We're there, Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 19. Timothy and Epaphroditus are the two dudes that he's talking about here. All right, 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. Remember, he's in prison in Rome, writing the church of Philippi. They're a long ways away. So he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone else looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor him like and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for help you yourselves could not give me. Okay, so here we see Paul sharing about these two very important people in his life, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and you could the warmth jumps off the page, right? These are obviously two guys that he respects, he values, he cares about. They're important to him, and they've been a source of joy for him. First, he's talking about Timothy. Timothy, we know as he even called him like his son in the faith. So Paul's invested in this guy, Timothy. They've traveled together. He's poured into him and taught him about Christ and what it means to be a man of God. So he's very important to him. He talks about him. And he says, I have no one else like him. So Timothy, they have this unique relationship. Timothy's special. He says he has proved himself. So he's battle-tested. He's tried. He's been there. He's been through the tough times together. Do you have somebody like Timothy in your life? You know, someone that's just been there with you and has proved himself over and over, and there's no one else like them. And he says, I want to send Timothy to you to let you know how this trial goes. Like, he's on trial, and it may result in his execution. He's not sure. And so he says, I hope to send Timothy to you for news to share what's going to happen with me. And then I also want to hear what's happening with you so I can be cheered about from you guys as well, so I can experience joy about what God's doing in your life as well. They don't have, you know, there's no Facebook posts. There's no texting, nothing. So if they want to get a message, I want to send Timothy to you. So, and I kind of wonder if our society might be better if we couldn't immediately communicate everything on our brain to the world. But whatever the case, that's the setting they were in. And so in order to communicate this, I want to send Timothy to you to be able to share what happens with me so you can know what's going on. And then then you'll send him back to me with a message of what you guys are doing so we can all be overjoyed with that. Then he talks about Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus is from the church of Philippi. They had sent Epaphroditus over to Paul. So they sent him as their messenger with words of encouragement to talk about what's going on. They sent him with some funding to help him too. Again, there's no Western Union. There's no MoneyGrams. There's no PayPal. You need to transfer money, you find a dude to walk with your money. And so Epaphroditus was that guy. So he went to Paul to be a help for Paul. He's been with Paul. But he got sick. Something happened, some illness. He almost died. And Paul grew to care so much about Epaphroditus when he said, God showed mercy on him by saving him. He said, he didn't just show mercy on him, he showed mercy on me. Because it would have been sorrow upon sorrow. In the midst of my joy, there would have been sorrow because this guy Epaphroditus has grown to be so much to me. So I want to send him back to you because I know how important he is to you. So when you see him, greet him with joy. All right, greet him with joy, because there's joy in that, right? So we see today that, yes, God is a source of our joy. Being living for him and his purposes, living for him and his kingdom, that is the true way that we experience his true, unchangeable joy. But yet, in the midst of that, we still experience joy from one another. From services like today, where we're going to hear people come up and share about what God's done in their lives, that touches a part of our soul that doesn't normally get touched, right? There's a joy that comes from that. And so it goes to show that we play a part in each other's joy, that we experience joy through relationships with other believers, and we also give joy to other believers through our relationships with them. And before you think that, oh yeah, you're right, Tom, we are pretty awesome, and we do give joy pretty good, and I'm a joyful person, and they're a joyful person, so yay us. Before you think that we're the source of the joy, I want to point out to you the two commonalities. When they talked about Timothy and Epaphroditus, he shared about them, about their character and their qualities, and two things jump off the page at me, I know, and I'm going to make them jump off at you too. Commonalities that these two guys had in common. And we're going to see the true source of the joy. So check out traits of a joy spreader. We've got some joy spreaders here in Timothy and Epaphroditus, and we've got some joy spreaders in this room. And so we want to identify the qualities, the traits of those joy spreaders, so we can look for them and be like them. So first one is this, and we're going to see from this passage, these descriptions. First one is this, fellow worker for the gospel. Fellow worker for the gospel. Verse 22 about Timothy, Paul says this, but you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with a father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. As Paul was committed to giving his life to the spread of the gospel, Timothy was right there by his side. They were fellow workers for the gospel, okay? Same thing with Epaphroditus in verse 25, talking about him. But I think it's necessary to send back to Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. They were serving together. They were serving for God to the advancement of his kingdom. They were fellow servants, all right? So that was a source, that was a commonality that made them experience this joy together, is they were serving God together. And in order for that to happen, first, Paul had to be serving God. Okay, so he was marching after God's orders and living his life for the advancement of the gospel. And then Timothy came along right beside him, and Epaphroditus came right alongside him, and they shared that commonality. All right, so God was at the center, the advancement of the gospel, like we talked about. That's the true source of joy, is giving our lives to the advancement of the kingdom. God's kingdom rather than my own kingdom. So here's guys that have committed to that, and as they've done that together, they've experienced this joy together from each other and to each other, but ultimately from God, right? Because it's from the advancement of this gospel. So that's the first thing, they're fellow workers for the gospel. Second, and they prioritized Christ over self. They prioritize Christ over self. Verses 20 and 21 about Timothy. It says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone else looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Saying that, you know how people live. They're looking out for themselves. They're doing their own thing. They're trying to advance their kingdom, their gospel, their truth. And we know that's how people operate. That's how a lot of us operate. Yet, here's Timothy, and he says, Timothy, there's no one like him. Like, he doesn't live for his own kingdom, but for Christ's kingdom. He's prioritized Christ over self. Same thing with Epaphroditus. Verse 30, talking about him, he says, he almost died for the work of Christ. He almost gave his life to this thing. Like, that's how committed he was to Christ. He almost died for it. So both these guys, they prioritized Christ over self. So they're about living for Christ, not for living for themselves. And so, yes, Paul received joy from Timothy and Epaphroditus, but it was in their commonality, in their chasing and pursuit after God. So I want you to see that God still is the joy giver, all right? So Paul, the joy is still coming from God. So it's not from us, it's from God. But sometimes he gives it through us, okay? It's still God's joy, but like this morning, what we experienced, hearing those testimonies and joining in with Shamika with the child dedication and all that, we experienced joy from God through them. And I think they experienced some joy from God through us, right? That we play a part in this, okay? It's God's joy. Don't get all like, yeah, I'm the joy giver. Check me out. But instead, giving all glory to God as the joy giver. But he uses us as part of that process. Okay, we're wrapping up. So to experience this, we're living our lives. Here's Timothy and Epaphroditus. They've given their lives to pointing people to Jesus Christ. That their lives are like arrows pointing at Christ. And as they do this, they've experienced joy individually, but also together. They've experienced this joy together as they've given their life to pointing to Jesus Christ. So for you and I to experience this, like for us to get the fullness of this joy, how are we going to experience this? Two things. First, we need to surround yourself with people that point to Christ. Surround yourself with people that point to Christ. And two, be a person that points people to Christ. So we got to surround ourselves with people that point people to Christ and be a person that points people to Christ. So with that, so first we got to surround ourselves with people that point people to Christ. We got to fill our lives with people like Timothy, people like Epaphroditus, people that are committed to this, right? We like to hang out with people because maybe that person's funny, you know, and they tell jokes, they make me jovial. We like to hang out with that person because they're very witty, or maybe they're really smart and I feel like I gain some of that smartness by hanging out with them, or maybe they're very, we view them as cool and like, you know, they're kind of who I want to be, and if I hang out with them, then I kind of get associated with that. They're popular and I want to be like that. I would like to challenge you to go deeper. Instead, don't just surround ourselves with people that maybe make ourselves feel good or that are funny or whatever, but instead surround our people that are pointing to Jesus Christ, that live their lives pointed to Christ, and that rubs off on you. That is an encouragement to be around people that are pointing to Christ. So I want to challenge you to experience that joy. I know we did our last fill in the blank, but we're not done. Does everybody feel? I know you get the last fill in the blank, you're like, finished. But living our life, surrounding ourselves with people that are pointing to Jesus Christ, all right? And so it's not just that, not just about being around people that point people to Christ, but then that you too would be a person that points people to Christ, that you would be that person. And you need to do this for you, but you need to do it for us too. So we could be around you and get that joy from being around you as we all do this together. We are better off when you are living out these kingdom principles. And yet we suffer when you don't, as a church. When you're walking close to God, when you're living in line with God and pointing people to him with your life, if you're living for the advancement of his kingdom, this is evidenced by your words, by your actions, how you carry yourself. And we are all blessed by that. When you're walking close to God, we as a church are blessed in our community by that, because we get the encouragement from that. We get pointed to Christ ourselves. We get all that comes with that when you're walking in that way. And when you're not, we suffer. When you're walking in bitterness, if you're carrying anger, if you're, when you're like that, you're kind of a grump. Have you been around you? I say that as your loving pastor. We all suffer as a community when we're not doing this. When you're someone that, then we start bringing each other down, start gossiping, start complaining, and start being that dark cloud, right? And you walk around, and you know, you can see it coming, right? Here comes a dark cloud, and you kind of have to brace yourself, right? So you don't get swept up in it. Hey, City Lights Church, you have an important part here. God wants to use you to be a joy spreader. And he wants you to receive joy as well. And this happens when we're doing this together. When we are pointing people to Jesus Christ, when we're living our lives to that, we are joy givers and we're joy receivers. We're joy spreaders. So as we do this, you're going to experience joy. We'll experience joy. You'll experience joy individually. But even more than that, we will have a shared joy together. And what's cool is as we have this experienced joy, this shared joy, it's contagious. Like people will come wandering in the church and they'll sense that. They'll be like, man, something different going on there. Those people got so much joy and it's contagious. I want that joy. I want that joy. I've been buying lotto tickets for that joy and it's not paying off. Let's try something. I want that joy. And it's contagious. So I want us to stand out as a joyful place. As a joyful place in a dark city, in a dark neighborhood, even a dark corner. I want this to stand out as a joyful place. A joy based on Christ. A joy not from ourselves, but God is the giver of joy, spreading joy through us. So it's on us to be surround ourselves with joy givers, people pointing to Christ, and also be a joy giver. All right, pointing ourselves to Christ with our own lives as well. With that, let's pray. God, I am so thankful that you want us to have joy. I'm thankful that you don't leave that as some carrot that we never actually experience, but that you're the joy giver. God, show us the places in our lives where we're chasing after joy in the wrong places, and instead help us to find it in you. And God, as we do this, help us to do it together. God, help us to stand out as a place of joy in our city, and that would be like a light in the darkness, attracting moths to a flame, God, that people be drawn out to experience your joy. God, I thank you for the testimonies today. I thank you that you showed up and starred out and shined out today. And I pray that that would continue in all of our lives going forward. Thank you for being so good to us all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.